So yeah, just understand the enemy is out after you. I can't remember who it was talking about it the other day. See, we're creatures that can voluntarily praise God. We can offer words, songs. I can't sing worth a lick, so God understands that. He doesn't hold that against me. Because he knows when I say, Lord, you are so awesome. In the simplest terms that I can put, he understands what I mean. And if you got the gift to sing, and that's what, well, praise God. We all benefit. But trust me, you won't benefit if I sing. But you see, the devil really, really hates you because that was his job. It was his job to worship. He was a worship leader. We've allowed religion to tell us that the devil is this great big half goat, half man thing with horns and muscles. And yet Ezekiel tells us, is this the man who shook the world? Are you seriously the one? Why? Because he doesn't have horns per se. He's got trumpets, flutes, piccolos, oboes, those kind of horns. He was a walking one-man band. The Bible tells us what he looked like. He was covered in jewels. He was musical instruments. And wherever he went, the glory of God went. So understand, that's why the devil hates you. Oh, and you look like God. He doesn't. Jesus does. He doesn't. So don't worry about it. You need a helping hand? Throw out a message. Need some prayer? Don't have to get into detail. Same Holy Spirit. He knows. All right. Let me get a drink. We did figure out what was the burning smell in the hallway last week. It was the shroud fell off of the cooler and blocked the fan, causing the fan to just sit there and get hot. Thank you, Jesus. It was something simple because I told you can ask Angela. I was like, I just put it in and it wasn't fun the first time. But God is good. I did say, I said, I just put it in. I really don't want to. And then I just shut up and I came in here and I took the bottom off and I saw what it was. I was like, really, Lord? It's that simple? And it was. So this morning we're going to start reading in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and in verse 24. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. Now, I know I've done almost the exact same message before in years. This is one I like to call run to win. This is my favorite scripture. You run to win. I know many of you, you've got your kids in sports, or you've had your kids in sports. I never expected my kids to be the Michael Jordans, to be the world champions, to be Usain Bolt. But I did ask them one thing. When you run or play, play your best. You give it all. Don't leave anything on that field or anything on the track. You give it all. I came from a place of complacency. Thought I was just good at sprinting. So I never cared to run distance. The reality was I could. I just didn't want to. So I was complacent. But the Apostle Paul starts talking to the church at Corinth. And he just got through telling them, he said, I have learned to become all. If they are weak, I know how to be weak. If they're a Jew, I know how to be a Jew. If they're not a Jew, I know how not to be a Jew. If they're a slave, I know how to be a slave. If they're free, I know how to be free. He says, I've become all things to all men. It does not mean he became a drug addict, alcoholic, pornaholic. It means he understood where they were coming from. And he did not list all those other things anyhow. He did restrict it to certain things. Freedom, Jew, not under the law. So then he gets down here in verse 24, and he says, do you not know that all who run, run to win a prize? Everybody wants to be first. Everybody. I don't care what position you started in. At some point, you want to be first, don't you? That was always my goal. If I'm going to run, I want to be first. And except for my PFTs. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Disciplined is what the word for temperate. It means I'm disciplined. Let's say you're a wrestler. I know you guys are, do you help with coach wrestling too? I remember the wrestlers in high school. There's no way you could have got me to be one. Them guys were in the bathroom a lot, trying to shed a couple ounces. They couldn't eat lunch, and I'm like, can I have yours? I'm hungry. But they were always trying to stay at a certain weight. So they had to be disciplined in that. Because if they went over, well now, I don't know what the ranges are, but if you went over and into the next class, you're not wrestling most likely a guy who's exactly your weight. He could be at the top of that class. And trust me, a few pounds can make the world a difference, especially when it's all muscle. So you have to be disciplined. That's what we're called to be, ladies and gentlemen. We're called to be disciples. Jesus said, go make disciples of all men. He didn't say, go make evangelists, preachers, prophets. He didn't say that. That's a calling that God puts on. That's why anybody's ever asked me about becoming a pastor or something, I said, you better know that God called you. Because trust me, it will eat you up and spit you out. That is why I think shortly after we started the church, I found out 1,500 pastors a month call it quits. And they're not retiring. They're calling it quits. That's a lot. That's because some of them think that that's what they were called to do because it felt good. It seemed like the right thing to do. And the reality is I've had people come up and say, I'm called to preach. I said, well, then you just hold on to that calling and let God develop it. Come to find out they weren't called to preach. They just got excited in the church service one day. I've had several other people there because I knew what their parents were telling them. What would you say to somebody about going into the ministry? Now, it was the same response. You better know that this is what you're called to do. Because if not, it will destroy you and your marriage. Well, I know where this couple is now, and they are not the preachers. But they serve in a ministry. They uprooted their life, closed their business, and they now serve in a ministry. That's what they were called to do. You can know the word. I bless God. I want everybody to know the word in here. I want you to be able to cast out demons. I want you to be able to lay hands on the sick. That's not anything special to the fivefold. It's crazy how people think that. I got contacted actually this week about going and cleansing a house. Now, I knew the husband or the guy, and I know the daughter who's thinking that the house has got spirits with it. And the problem is the daughter's supposed to be a Christian too, and if she's not, what good's it going to do me to go cleanse a house when you're the owner and you don't believe? Jesus said what happens is the devils come back and they say, oh, it's clean. Party. And he goes to get seven of his friends, and they come back and they make it worse. You have the same power. If you feel there's something else running around your place, you pray. That's the authority of a believer. Now, they do it to obtain a perishable crown. You know, back then, there was a little bit of ivy they put on their heads. Y'all's all seen them. They usually see Caesar. It's a victory crown is what it is. It rots. It dies. Today, well, at one point, it used to be a little piece of aluminum covered in brass. Now it's just a piece of plastic covered in plastic chrome. And, or it might be a ribbon. But that's what we compete for now. For the accolades, the acknowledgement of what goes along with it. That stuff fades. Who held the world record in the 100-yard, 100-meter dash before Usain Bolt? I don't think it was. I don't think so. I don't know either. Who cares, right? The record's broken. The guy who held it for years in the men's. Nobody, you don't remember him because it doesn't matter because somebody else took it. Who won the New York Marathon? I'm sure he was Kenyan. Those guys can run. I don't know. But guess what? It doesn't matter because there's another one. Boston Marathon. It's the same thing. I can't even tell you who won the Super Bowl this year. That's how quick things go by. It's always changing. It's perishable. The things we attain, that we spend most of our life trying to attain, they perish. Who built the biggest house this week? Don't know. We don't care. But we for an imperishable crown. The race we run, ladies and gentlemen, has nothing to do with about the house we live in or the house we drive. Depends on what your mode of operation is. Maybe you're an RVer. I don't know. Or the car you drive. None of that matters. You could drive a horse and buggy. And for all those people thinking, oh, I'm going to go back to the horse and buggy days. Well, let's see, I think a cheap horse is around $7,000. And that don't include shoeing, care, the barn you got to build to keep it, the hay you got to buy to keep it alive, the oats you got to buy, and then you got to go out and buy a carriage. If you buy a new one, you could be at about another $7,000. Well, the Amish, they got it so easy. Oh, by the way, they don't come with heaters. It's a wool blanket or a pile of them. So living a simple life doesn't really fix it either. The reality is the race we run has nothing to do with the things we've got. Doesn't matter what shoes you wear. Ooh, you got Prada? Ooh, and I only know that because of the movie. Just so you know. Been accused of being Metro anyhow, so I've been working hard at my plaid and my fishing shirts, and none of that matters. Doesn't matter what restaurant you get to eat at regularly. I hope you treat yourself. You're allowed to do that. I just don't recommend it all the time. If, you know, there's a restaurant in Columbus, I don't even know the name of it, but it's downtown on High Street. You don't get to park your own car. It's not an option. They park your car. And a meal, one meal, one three-course meal will cost you $1,000. How would you like that steak? That I better have watched that thing walk through the restaurant. So there are places like that. I hope you get some time to go eat a place like that. But just so you know, they do have require suit and tie. Therefore, I run this, not with uncertainty. Paul's talking about a spiritual battle that he's not running aimlessly. We're not without a purpose. Our purpose is to win people to the Lord, to be an example of who Jesus Christ is. That's our purpose. You know, I know Jason's gotten back into running a lot here lately. He's done a couple 5Ks before church service in Columbus and made it to church. Just saying. Now, he did share with me why he wanted the one. There were some free shoes involved. When they're good cross-country shoes, they are not cheap. But he's been doing quite well. And he said something the other day, well, it was about your age group. Did you say you were first in your age group? He was first in his age group. Then, like we discussed, but he's at this, the first step in his age group. There's that's going to keep, he's going to keep going up, and somebody else is going to keep going. So he's going to have to run harder. He's going to have to train harder and run harder. That's just the way it goes. But you see, he's been running. He hasn't been training aimlessly. He has a goal in mind. There were things he had that he wanted to accomplish. And as he's accomplishing them, all those miles that he ran are paying off. Paul said, thus I fight, not as one who beats the air. Sorry, I just had a vision of a In Living Color sketch with Jamie Foxx and Jim Carrey, in which Jamie played LaWanda. He's a dude dressed like a woman on a dating show, and he fights. The way he fights is hilarious. Because he's down here like this, and he's just throwing his arms. He looks stupid. It's hilarious. Or maybe it's just my generation. But it's hilarious to watch. He's just throwing these wild, crazy punches. Paul said, that's not me. I'm not just acting like an idiot. See, when you see a boxer, and they're in there, right? I didn't know anything about boxing when I kind of like to watch it back in the day when you get it on free on TV. Nowadays, it doesn't pay because it's all set up. The last Mike Tyson fight taught me that. But the reality is, let's think about Muhammad Ali. Man, that man could fight. He could float, he could dance, he could punch, he could throw a hard punch. But he got so cocky, didn't he? He'd just stand there and let them punch him in the head. That was his downfall, his pride. See, the first thing I was taught in boot camp about boxing was you keep your hands up. You keep them up here. Now, if you're bare-knuckled and they hit your hands, yeah, you're punching yourself most likely. But when you got gloves, it don't hurt like that. So you keep your hands up here to keep a punch from, and you keep your arms in close because they can come right up here and knock you out. But it's not all about defense either. It's about offense. See, if you've ever seen him do that, it's 1-1-2 back. Two punches to the face and an uppercut. That's what Paul's trying to describe to people. I'm not just doing this. When he's in his prayer time, and then he switches it up. The best fighters can switch. And you know how you do that? You change your feet, by the way. So it's a full body event, which is like running. If you've never run, trust me, it's a full body event. You feel it through your little toe to the top of your head. But Paul was saying, I'm doing this. Not just somebody out here. He says, I'm training myself. I'm disciplining myself for a fight. But I discipline my body. People who are in training don't just go out and hit Dairy Queen every day. They just don't do it. I'm sorry. Wrestlers, they got to meet a weight. I felt sorry for them guys. Some of my friends, we'd be in there eating lunch, and the wrestling coach would walk down the hall. Are you eating? Psh, no. Whenever... And I can't say that I didn't eat garbage when I was in shape, but I was of such an age that 2,000 calories a day was not going to keep me alive. We were just going all the time. Every MRE you get is 2,000 calories. And there were days we were fed three of them because you go through it. But you have to get carbs in you. Something I learned with Joshua. They never taught us that. About the night before a big run, eat some carbs. However, the Marine, if you ate in the chow hall, you got potatoes three times a day. Beans usually twice a day. So we got lots of that kind of stuff. But when Joshua started running cross country, they would have carb night. Spaghetti, lasagna, stuff like that. Eat, pack up on those carbs because that's your fuel for the race. See, we forget that about, I got to have a longevity here in my spiritual run. Every day, you've got to train. Talk to God every day. I think it was, yeah, I was trying to remember who it was I was talking to the other day. And Micah says, there was a day I missed my time with God. And I was like, no, this can't happen. I feel lost right now. And so she said, I can't do that. I can't miss my time with God. So it's discipline. When you set that time up, you set it up. All these people have for years been saying, oh, you need to seek the Lord in the morning. David was a morning person, doggone it. Some of us are not. You want to hang out at 3 o'clock in the morning? I'm your man. I was this morning anyhow. I woke up at 3 o'clock. Why am I awake? I've been asleep for 3 hours. There's the morning person in our family. 4 o'clock, 4:30. I know Richard said, I'm up at 6 every day. Not me. But I can get up, usually with the threat of going to jail or taking money from me, or something like that. I can be up. That was the only way for 4 years I was able to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. So it just means my time with God is at a different time. Because I'm not you and you're not me. Paul said, I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Paul is now speaking as a spiritual leader. And he said, I'm doing the things that I'm telling you. People trying to say, you don't need to read the word. There's a whole denomination that said, you know, you won't understand it. It's too complicated. The Bible is written, I believe, is on a fifth grade level. Most of us in here have passed fifth grade, right? But here's the problem. We go from, well, that's the milk of the word, brother. We want the meat. And exactly what is it you want to know? Seriously, what do you want to know? He said you can cast out demons. That's bread. It's simple. It's called faith. The real meat of the word is faith. Trusting God. You've got to trust him. If God said you go over there and you lay hands on that person, you've got to trust God. It also helps that if they're not a believer, you let them know what you're doing. You might need to trust God for your own healing. Trusting God, in my opinion, is the meat. What about understanding the mysteries of the world? What good does it do me? Okay, great. Why? You know why I don't care? Because you're going to argue. Well, I don't see it that way. Well, it doesn't matter. I believe that there was a world here before Adam. You don't have to. Things I see tells me there's a very real possibility. Well, okay. It's pointless for us to argue about it. But when we start arguing in the body of Christ at whether Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, was dead, buried, and resurrected on the third day, I'm right, you're wrong. Because that's what my Bible says. And that is what I believe. I believe in Jesus, and that's who I believe. I don't believe you. I believe the Word. That's why I try to teach you word. And if I share something that's my opinion, I'll tell you. But you can't say, I think. No. What does the word say? Paul said, I can become as one without law, although I do not live without the law of Christ. He says, I don't need the ceremonial garbage and baggage. I know we're free from that. He said, but I don't live la vida loca. Because later on in chapter 10 there, he says, all things are lawful for me, but they're not all beneficial. There's so many things that we've decided, oh, well, this is law. This is what we have to do. Paul also said women can't teach. I know different. I believe different. Because Paul said, I do not allow women to teach. And why was that in Paul's day? Come on, let's think about it. They didn't know the law. Most of them couldn't read. It was very rare when a woman was taught to read back then. Most of them didn't know the law. Very few men were allowed to see the law. Because most of them would have said, hey, wait a minute, this is wrong. Kind of like what Martin Luther did when he got into the Bible and he started reading, and he came up with 95 things against the Catholic Church that were wrong. But unfortunately, religion has turned around and shot it right back. What Martin Luther started, and you know what, the charismatic world is the same way. We have to be careful that we're not making a god. That was what one of the first things he started to address in chapter 10. Talking about the things. He starts off with lust. Guess what he wasn't talking about right there? Sex. He wasn't talking about, you know how I know? Because just a little bit further down in the verse, he addresses sexual immorality. But he talked about their lust, their covetousness. We want. I got to have this, got to have this. Let me tell you right now, things aren't going to fulfill your life. Boats won't do it. Cars won't do it. Homes won't do it. Trips won't do it. Planes won't do it. Rings won't do it. Cash won't do it. Gold won't do it. Only God can settle that for you. Nothing's going to make you happy. And when you go, you do not take it with you. Well, I'm not leaving it to my children. No, that's between you and God. My kids are getting everything. Should I play the Powerball and win it? They get it all. Why? Because I raised my kids right. Why don't you think it'll destroy them? Well, they know God. I taught them how to seek God. Because trust me, if $100 million, we'll say that, can destroy them, so can 10,000. I know families torn apart for that, right around that, because of greed. Watch the body of Christ for more years than I can count, right at the top of my head. Fight each other. Instead of saying, hey, we're brothers and sisters. Let's stop the fighting. I'm not better. We're no better than the Church of Christ, ladies and gentlemen. Well, I don't agree. I don't care what you don't agree with. They don't agree with us. But let's stop fighting on the stupid stuff. Sin is sin, and sin will be judged by God. If there are things that we know that are flat out sin, let's pray. But one of the things, the other things the Apostle Paul hit was idolatry and complaining. Lust, idolatry, complaining, and sexual immorality were the four things Paul addressed right there in chapter 10. The body of Christ complains a lot. And we have so many idols, it's not funny. You know, one of our biggest idols that we have? Our church. People don't invite you to come meet Jesus. They invite you to come to their church and get involved in their programs. That hoping maybe through the program you'll meet Jesus. We got a few things going on here lately that I used to say, Lord, we're still not a social club. The breakfast the men do, it's not a social club. It's a camaraderie builder. We don't advertise it to people all over the country. Come, the women's group, the little fishing trip the men have been taking, this will be the second year. God showed me it's okay now. You're not in trouble of starting a social club. Because the day that comes that we ever stop being the body of Christ, that whether or not I'm there, you do the right thing. That's when you're the body of Christ. I've heard some people in here, you're sitting in here, I've heard you say some things. Blew my mind! Like, yes, Lord, it was that simple, wasn't it? What they did was absolutely right. And they saw it. We are called to be the body of Christ. The Church of Christ is part of that body. The Baptist Church is part of that body. My beginnings were Church of Christ. And then Baptist. Go figure. But then we got into some goofy craziness. And nobody dared challenge it because they were in fear. When the reality is, when it's not the word, you quit following it. Well, they're a prophet. The number of real prophets that are alive today is a lot smaller than you think, in my opinion. Because prophets didn't go around prophesying peace, prosperity, and wealth. They turned people's hearts back to God. And they were all a little weird. Seriously, look at the Bible. Start reading it for what it is. They were a little weird. Samson, a judge, he had 7 braids. He had dreadlocks, man. Yet we're all getting bent out of shape. The body of Christ is torn over whether it's proper to be cremated or not. Guess how the King Saul was disposed of. Anybody guess? He was cremated. Go figure. We use law to try to control people. That's not what the law's for. It's to control you. Apply it to your life where it needs to be. And I'd say you can start in a few different books. 1, Operating in Love. 2, Proverbs. Go to John. Read John. Anything John wrote. Just take it easy on Revelation. But John kept talking about the love of God. But Proverbs talks about some things that really need to be applied to our lives. Train up your children in the way they should go. That means mom, dad, be the example. Your kids are watching. They know everything you've done wrong. You don't think they do, but they've seen it. They've heard it. One thing I've had since January that's just been kind of a slight adjustment for me was, like I said, 2 years ago I lost 20-some pounds. Felt great. Knees weren't hurting. I bought a new suit, wore some clothes I hadn't worn for a while. And then I went on vacation that year. And I did something, and God showed me it was gluttony, what I did. I shared the picture. It was of the biggest piece of shortcake you could ever eat. 2 of us couldn't finish it, and I was sick. It was gluttony. I should have stopped with the 1 pound BLT. I went over. Nope, I gotta have this. Because it was 3 days later, I think it was. 3 days later, instantly. We finished dinner in, we were in the UP, the little town that's right there at the edge. St. Ignace. And we just finished dinner, and instantly, I felt like I'd eaten a brick. And I felt like that until January of this year. And it was gluttony. But I started stress eating shortly after that. I had a lot of things coming at me. And, you know, I can't run. Maybe I should have went to ride a bike instead. But I used to run. I used to ride my motorcycle. But my motorcycle became a stumbling block for me. Got rid of it. And ultimately, God has been blessing me. But there's something I got into, a bad habit. Ooh, there's a Reese cup. The Reese cups are still there, but I have not had one. We were standing in Drug Mart last night, and she's like, is there anything else we need while we're here? And I'm standing there, I said, no, but we need to leave, because there's raspberry zingers right behind you, and they are calling my name. So we got out of Dodge. I've just had to learn to cut that back. I had a piece of Cherry Delight not too long ago. Didn't gain anything. We shared a little pint of Ben and Jerry's strawberry ice cream the other day. I don't care about their politics. Their ice cream's good. Because trust me, you won't like the politics of anybody that makes anything you got on. Because most of them just follow whatever the current's going. You're going to watch. There's going to be a switch real quick. But we ate it. Guess what happened? We didn't gain 1 pound. Not 1 pound. We were no longer condemning ourselves for allowing ourselves a treat. But I haven't had any dessert since. And we got these little bars. They don't carry the carbs, and they help me. Call it my Nicorette. It works. But I will warn you, they are, there's glycerin in them, the ones I eat, because they're peanut, they're like a Payday. Is that right? Or Baby Ruth. Nuts covered with chocolate and a little nougat. Or a little caramel, okay? The glycerin kind of makes you... Yes. So if you want to knock your spouse out of the bed, go for it. But they will light you up. So, but we've had to relearn that again. So it's a discipline. That's what Paul's talking about. And spiritually, it's the same thing. We need the discipline. When you want to start whining and complaining, God, why don't I have this? Start thanking him for what you do have. Well, God, I want so much more. And he says, am I not enough? That's the real problem. You don't see what you got as being enough, because we're Americans. We want more. We always do. We want more, 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 more. When is enough enough? How much money do you need? Do I need $274 billion? No, that's what Elon Musk is worth. In stock options, primarily. He doesn't have that in cash sitting around. But how much is enough? I heard years ago that a poor man isn't the man who doesn't have any money. A poor man is the man without a dream. I did one thing right with my boys. I taught them how to dream. It drives Tony nuts, because her family didn't. She's learning to adjust and I still dream. I'm a grandfather, and I've still got dreams, and I still come up with things. I got some of the dreams that I had when Joshua came along. Some mornings it's just getting out of bed without falling. But the reality is, I failed if I never taught them about God. I failed if, not that they got tempted, not that they even strayed, but I failed if they turned their back on him completely and deny him. So I had to discipline myself as a father. And as a grandfather, I'm having to try to discipline myself for being a grandfather. Especially when you're teaching a six-year-old how to drive with a trailer. But we are called to run our race. See, when Jason's running, he's running against those other guys. Not only is there going to be one person who wins the overall race, and I pray Jason gets to get to that point, but right now, his age class. Usain Bolt didn't just jump up one day and say, I'm going to break the world record for the 100-meter dash. Because to be reality, if anybody else watched him run, he runs weird. He really does. Most of those guys, me personally, when I came out of the blocks, I was a jackrabbit. I could hit, I was like a two-stroke engine. It was like, pew! But that was pretty much it. I only had a little bit more to give about halfway down. Usain Bolt isn't like that. He's not the first one out of the blocks. What makes him different... That man gets about the 25-meter, and it's like somebody lit a rocket behind him, and he just starts passing them. And all they can do is they can't catch him. Totally different, but it started because he started disciplining himself. He started running. He started putting more pressure to run, to be faster. I'm sure it's somewhere along a coach told him, you got to come out of the blocks first. Anybody ever notice it doesn't always work? That some things aren't always replicatable? In the Marine Corps, we were taught you run like this, upright, and look good, so that you're dying. And if you're carrying a guide on or a rifle, you're running at port arms. Guess what your arms aren't doing? Jason, how important is pumping your arms? Vital. You're dying, all for pride. I remember Joshua running cross country. There'd be guys, they had some weird, weird running forms. There was a kid from Northmore who was like, oh yeah, he ain't gonna. Man, I don't think he ever got past. He just had a weird form. Let God use you. I've been talking about that the last couple weeks. I know what time it is. You'll still get to the restaurant on time. And we're not late, but we're not early. Let God use who you are. You can't be me. You don't have my experiences. You don't have my tendencies. You don't have my history. She can't be me, and I can't be her. I can't be my dad. I got to be who I am. Because I'm a different person. I can't be Pastor Bob. Pastor Pete, I can't be them. No matter how much I've looked up to them, I can't be them. They're different. Be you. Quit trying to hold a candle to somebody else. There's only one candle that you need to hold yourself to standard to, and that's the flame that doesn't go out. And the world tried to. They put him on a cross. But they didn't succeed. That's who you live up to. Don't live up to Paul. Peter, John. They all fell on their face at some time. They all had their shortcomings. They were just like you. Well, I don't see it. I pray that you get the wisdom to see that they were just mere men. They were uneducated fishermen, a tax collector, guys in the community, but not a one of them had a degree like they wanted. Well, you're not a Levite. You can't be teaching the truth. Guess what? The truth wasn't a Levite either. He was a Judahite. I don't know. From the tribe of Judah. But be who you are. Embrace. And I'm not talking about your embracing your sins. I'm talking about embracing your strengths. I look around and I know so many of you have different strengths. Your dedication, your love. And the downside to being on us being on opposite, we can all see each other's faults too. That's why the Bible says love covers a multitude of sins. Yes. If you can't look at somebody and love them, guess what you're not in? You're not in love. My wife is proof. She's loved me for buku years now. And she knows all my shortcomings. So, but she still loves me. That's a difference. All right, let's stand. For those of you waiting for the other shoe to fall with God, understand this. He's long-suffering. It may fall sometime, but he's long-suffering. If he tells us to be long-suffering, it's because he already is. How many years did he wait for Israel? How many prophets did he send to Israel? Repent. Turn. And when they doubled down, he said, all right, it's over. This is what's going to happen to you. But everything he did was to turn them back. Just always remember that. He's not looking. He would rather give you mercy than you to sacrifice. Something that's hard to learn. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are long-suffering. Father, that you do desire mercy and not sacrifice. So, Father, illuminate to us all through your word, through just our time with you, anything in our hearts that is not welcome. Father, I don't want anything that's not welcome. Father, I know myself. I know where I fall short. Father, thank you for loving me anyhow. Father, I pray for these people today. I bless them, Lord. I ask, Father, that those who are not able to be here today because of sickness, you touch their bodies. You heal them. You restore life to them. Father, I thank you that you're moving in our midst. Father, that you're stirring love for one another. That when we've run into somebody else who's a believer, we don't judge them because of the church they go to, but we love them because they're a brother or sister. And Father, bless them. Pour your love out upon them this week. Open their eyes to how much you actually care for them. We all know the narrative that you died, were buried, and resurrected. But Father, I sometimes think we forget just how much love that took. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.